Hey, what's up, guys? That's right, Nerd Soul here. Get ready for the podcast, breaking down what happened in your week of geek. Doesn't matter if it's movies, comic books, TV shows, we're going to get right into it. So I ain't going to waste your time. Let's do this. We're going to get into it because DC today is your day. Vixen, who has enjoyed much success on the CWC with her animated series. Then she got her own film, which was a collection of the series, plus some extra added 15 minutes of unseen footage. It was a lot of fun. I reviewed it. The series itself was just well animated, well voice acted, and all in all, a very good thing for the CW and DC animation. Another cool thing is that it ties into the Arrowverse. You know, it's the same Vixen who is the granddaughter of the Vixen on Legends of Tomorrow. Also the same Vixen that was on, of course, the Arrow show in season 3? I can't remember right now. But they brought her in when they were working against the Totem with Damian Dark and all that. So it's the same Vixen. And that's a very cool thing. So if you missed that, or maybe you haven't checked out CWC or you hadn't seen the movie, well, guess what? This week is your week because on August 30th, they're going to be airing the full Vixen series on the CW. It's, in my opinion, a very big win for animation and a very big win for Vixen. I love Vixen. I loved her series, the way she was drawn, the way she was, you know, the way she was voice casted. I really had a lot of fun with the series. Also, the extra 15 minutes of footage, I thought that was amazing. So, what can you guys expect to get from this? You're gonna get the full series, plus all of the, you know, the producers, maybe some people from DC All Access, giving commentary during like the commercial breaks and stuff like that to kind of give you an idea of why it was created, how it was created, things that went on in it. And it's just a pretty big win. So guys, keep your eyes out on that and we're gonna move on because Vixen is already slaying. Next up is another win on the CWC side with Constantine. They're going to be coming with about 5 to 6 10-minute episodes. You're going to be coming, of course, with Matt Ryan coming back for the voice casting. Everything seems great. So what do we know about it? Well, you got David Goyer and Greg Berlanti. They're going to be producing this. And they're going to be drawing and pulling from some of the best Hellblazer series. They're not sure whether this is going to pull from the season 1 that they had that was really, really enjoyable. A lot of people loved it. And it's still available on CWC. Or they don't know if they're going to be pulling directly from kind of what follows after the Justice League Dark film. Now, before we move on, let me remind you that you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans. Super dope. All you have to do is check them out at Black Hollywood Live, where they have celebrity interviews, after shows, sports talk, geek nerd tech, the whole shebang. Live daily streams on youtube.com/Black Hollywood Live. So with this coming sometime this fall, and with the idea of pulling a lot of stories from kind of Hellblazer's best, if you will, a lot of people are wondering, well, what are you referring to when you say Hellblazer's best? Well, one of the things that they kind of like, I guess, teased a bit was the storyline of Dangerous Habits. And Dangerous Habits kind of deals with Constantine having a terminal illness. Of course, you know, he's using maybe some spells, maybe some curses, maybe some hexes, you know, using demons and stuff like that and possessions to maybe cure himself of the lung cancer he's dealing with. So guys, stay tuned to this. I'm gonna keep my ear to the ground because I can't believe that I missed this, but I am so glad I did not miss this, if you know what I mean. So of course we got one more DC player to deal with, and you know he is the top of the heap when it comes to DC. But this one's a good one, honestly. Next up is the sneak peek at Gotham by Gaslight. Batman is doing his thing in the 1900s London, and everything seems to look good, right? Well, not exactly. See, Jack the Ripper is running around, and if you know anything about Jack the Ripper, it's never a good time. But the great thing about this is that we have Batman on the case. And it seems like, of course, Catwoman is right there with him, doing her thing. Now, of course, this is an Elseworlds storyline. So it shows a very different view and a very look at Batman. And of course, the characters in Batman's world. Now, like Batman, the animated series, I think this really works well in the just the old style, when you put Batman in an older style, I don't know, Batman just shines for me. I prefer Batman in something like this, like in 1900s London, or something like, you know, maybe even the early 1900s or maybe mid 1900s of the Batman the Animated Series. I really love that style that they put him, that kind of like this Art Deco kind of thing. But in this, you still have a lot of darkness as well. You have a lot, you know, the London fog, the dreary tones, the very dark, dark nights, even the dim days, it helps him shine. And when he shines, his light gets cast over just the art style, which is on point in this. It looks like the fight scenes, even though I'm not sure how many there are, the little sneaks that we got, they look very well choreographed. And one thing that I love is that we're getting Batman back to detective style work. Detective, investigation, figuring out clues, all of that great stuff that I think is lost when it comes to the live action Batman. The good thing about this is that since it's in 1900s London, we're not gonna be Googling things. It's not gonna be some grand computer that Batman has and he can just figure it out. Batman is gonna have to Sherlock Holmes this joint. And that's what has me most excited about this. You guys know that I'm Batmaned out. I think that DC has many other characters that they could shine a light on. And I think they spend a lot of time on Batman, but I do understand what DC stands for. I do understand that. But in this case, I do like seeing the twist. You know, Mike Mignola's art is stupid crazy. So like pulling from that and having the detective style, this is a Batman that I think I can definitely get into on screen. And just a couple of things popping, you know, a little here, a little there. So Misty Knight is in an ill photo from the very first look at Luke Cage season 2. And I just want to geek out. I mean, the first thing, we know that Luke Cage season 2 is coming. It's real. We got a picture. It's on a V-way. And we got Misty Knight with that bionic arm. That's right, you know, if you don't remember, or if you haven't seen yet, here's a spoiler. But in Marvel's Defenders, you know, she had a little mishap where she lost her arm. But we know she had to lose her arm because in the comic book, she ends up with a bionic arm, and that bionic arm ain't no joke. So aside from the fact that Luke Cage season 2 is coming, thank you, Jesus. And also besides the fact that Misty Knight is side by side ready to wreck shop, thank you, Jesus. But the cool thing is that now we get to speculate a little bit more on the possibilities of maybe Daughters of the Dragon, you know, Heroes for Hire kind of thing, and what's gonna go on between Misty, between Colleen Wing, where that future might go, and also kind of like who made it. Is this from Stark Tech? Did Rand Industries make this? You know, there's a lot to wonder about how much strength she'll be able to have with the arm, how mobile it'll be. Will she have any problems? Will she have any difficulties dealing with it? Maybe out in the field where she's fighting actual bad guys. So my question to you is, what are you expecting to see? What are you waiting to see from Misty Knight? What like kind of storyline are you expecting her to start following now? And do you think that maybe we'll get a Daughters of the Dragon show? Or maybe a little miniseries, maybe like, you know, 3 or 4 episodes of their own thing. You know, it doesn't have to be like 8 or 13 episodes, but maybe like a nice little story where they do their own thing. So of course, guys, holler at me. I'ma holler at you down in the comments. Let's talk about Misty Knight, cause I'm hyped. Next up is a new look at Inhumans with their war trailer. And the bottom line is we're getting a lot more Lockjaw. It looks like those effects are finally finished. We're getting ready to see it this weekend. If you've got your tickets to IMAX, which I suggest because I'm still kind of betting on this being good. And here's why. I don't see dumping all this money into a property and doing this whole IMAX thing if you're expecting a dud. So let's get into the rest of the trailer. We have a bunch of action. This whole trailer basically is just action packed because we've gotten sort of a teaser and a trailer already. So we kind of know, hey, there's these two brothers. There's this kind of like royal family thing going on. There's a coup coming between one brother and another brother. So in this case, all we need to show is just cool action. And I think that's what we get from a lot of our characters. Now, I'm going to focus in on Medusa and your boy Black Bolt. With Medusa, I'm loving the effects that they put on the hair. Now, of course, this is still television, so we couldn't go as deep as, like, you know, this isn't going to break ground like, you know, Matrix or, Avatar or something. But the hair looked good. I like how it reacted to her. I liked her facial expressions when she was kind of using her hair to attack. I think it helped kind of drive home the diversity and their weirdness that the Inhumans kind of like cover. And speaking of her hair, one of the big things is that we see her kind of like throw down with Maximus a little bit, which is weird to me because I don't know a ton about Maximus. I'll be honest, I don't. But from what I know, he never came across to me as weak, and it seemed kind of like she kind of handled him pretty easily. I mean, he almost didn't fight back. Maybe it's because, you know, I don't want to hit a woman, you know, I don't want to be like that. Or maybe because dude just ain't got no hands. But back to her hair, I see that in later in the trailer that her hair is cut. So maybe somebody cut her hair, or maybe, you know, somebody like drugged her and, you know, shaved it or something. I don't know. But now we kind of have a show where Medusa doesn't have her hair. And I wonder if that's going to provide a great character journey for her, or if we're going to get to see kind of cool segments as her hair grows back where it's able to do things. I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go with that. Or it might just be a cheap route to not do hair effects anymore for the special effects and graphics team. Maybe. But we're not sure. So before we move on to Black Bolt, let me remind you that you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans is super dope, and you can check them at blackhollywoodlive.com, where they have celebrity interviews, after shows, sports talk, geek nerd, tech, the whole shebang, with live streams every day at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So my biggest thing that I'm drawing out of this trailer is that Lockjaw looks big, fluffy, and lovable. Well, maybe not fluffy. He doesn't have tons of hair, but he just looks squeezable. You know, he just looks like so huggable. And Black Bolt. Here's my thing about Black Bolt. I feel like they're nerfing him a little bit, because in the shot where the cops are holding him and he like lets out like a little bit of like breath or whatever, and he flips the car and like a couple things, you know, pieces of paper fly or whatever. In the comic books, he's way stronger than that, and maybe they're nerfing him back so he's just not like just, you know, God level destruction, maybe. Or maybe they're just taking the cheap route because it does cost money to make effects happen. So I'm not sure how I feel about that yet, but we'll see how it plays when the actual show comes out. So it might be something that I'm just worrying about now, but when it comes to playing the show, I'll be like, oh, okay, makes sense, because he is on Earth. And, you know, if he, I don't know, like, you know, lets out a small, like, gasp like that, it could kind of destroy a whole town if he wanted. So maybe it's best to kind of pull his powers back, you know? So I'm interested to see where you're at on Medusa's hair, on the fish out of water story about them coming to Earth, about Black Bolt and his powers, you know what I mean? Get at me down in them comments. And we got to move on to one more thing with your boy Arnold. Next up, and last but not least, on our docket is Killing Gunther. Arnold is back. It's funny, it's fun, and I think this is gonna be something that has a lot of replay value. Straight up, it's played out like, you know, kind of like a documentary, mockumentary style kind of thing. And you have, I guess, this character that is not too pleased with Gunther, and he wants to be the assassin that takes him out. You know, he wants to be known as the best. And Arnold, of course, Gunther right now is the best. And what we get is a lot of hijinks it's just funny. Because you're documenting who's supposed to be, like, say, the greatest hero or the greatest hitman out there against kind of like these ragtag weirdos that are kind of like joining forces to, I guess, take him down. Or this guy is kind of amassing heroes or teammates or assassins to kind of take Gunther down. And look, I'm all for going after somebody if you don't like him, but this is Arnold Schwarzenegger, man. It's not gonna work for you. But one of the funniest moments is when, yo, Arnold straight breaks the code. Arnold snitches on dude to the FBI, man. You don't never snitch to the Poe. Like, what's up with you, man? Even though that scene was definitely funny, but I just think that Come on, man. You can't call the cops, man. You snitching. You can't snitch. So you take that with a whole bunch of catchphrases, and I think this is like Commando and The Office, but just with new effects. Yeah. And I'm so ready to see it. So guys, holla at me. I'm gonna holla at you. Down in the comments, let me know what you like about the new Killing Gunther trailer. Are you into it? Are you not? Or are you just ready to see Arnold punch somebody in the face? Talk shop. That's right, we're continuing our wonderful read-along of Ghostbusters. And today we come up on a two-issue, I guess, storyline that's part of a crossover inside of course, IDW's Infestation. And to kind of catch you up real quick, Infestation deals with a zombie hive mind that kind of collectively takes over this vampire who is able to open up different dimensions to be able to infest them, of course, with said zombies. So where we pick up with the Ghostbusters is them dealing with how in the world to handle this new necromantic type being. And one of the quick things that I just gravitated to on this is that Eric Burnham is writing these issues. So you got the feel of the original series, or the first series that I read, where the Ghostbusters team seems like the team from the films. Like they're not really deviating. They really get a lot of just the camaraderie, the banter. Janine, you know, and Peter, or Peter and Egon, or Ray and Egon, a lot of that is just, it's spot on. And the art in this, even though it's not Dan Schoening's art, it was solid. The art in here was solid, and I think it lent very well to the zombies, especially. Like, the zombies look great. You know, there's some full panels with zombies, like, you know, droopy skin and eyeballs and stuff, and it's really just top-notch stuff, and it's colored well. The ink is on point, so it just gives you this really kind of like creepy, just nasty, gooky feeling, and it really works. Like, it really comes together and gives you that zombie feel. And when it comes to this, the reason I enjoyed it is because we got to see Egon's mind working differently when it comes to ghosts or things that aren't particularly human. For instance, at the beginning, when you see the team encounter their first zombie, they don't really quite know what it is. Like, Peter's even like, yo, what is this dude? Like, what's wrong with this guy? Ray knows immediately. Ray is like, yo, that's a zombie. And the funny way that they are able to kind of like combat that zombie is not the best, because when they shoot the zombie with proton packs, you know, some of that zombie essence, I guess, gets in the air and lands on a cat. And that cat turns into, of course, zombie cat. And this is a lot to deal with, especially when we open up the issue with them already having containment issues. You know, they haven't been able to keep all the ghosts in the containment unit. It's been kind of bursting at the seams. There's ghosts getting out, and they're wondering how in the world are they going to be able to handle that situation? And now this new maybe zombie problem? Well, they kind of find a way to sort of put the alcohol in the paper bag, because when a zombie attacks the station, it accidentally steps on a trap, and the ghost comes out of the trap and goes straight into the zombie and renders the zombie, I guess, inert. But before we get to like the big, you know, super fantastic ending to this, because, you know, they always got to do callbacks, let me remind you that you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, first online network for African Americans, super dope. And you can find them at blackhollywoodlive.com, where they have celebrity interviews, after show, sports talk, geek, nerd, tech, the whole shebang-a-bang, and live streams every day at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. Now, remember that vampire I was talking to you about at the beginning? Well, see, she comes back. She actually appears in this issue, and Winston is not having it. You always got to trust Winston's instincts, man. If he thinks you should shoot something, you should probably shoot it. But she actually gets them to kind of calm down and fight against a larger threat, which, yeah, is back. Gozer. You see Stay Puft Marshmallow Man just running through these streets, and she gets them to kind of focus on him instead of focusing so much on her, because she's actually working with the hive mind of the zombies, and they needed a small essence of Gozer himself. So it actually works out for her, but if they would have just listened to Winston, man, they would have shot her. She probably would have been dead. Everything would have worked out fine, but they don't listen. Now, the battle against the Ghostbusters and Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, or Gozer, is what really caps off this episode very nicely, because you see them try to do the whole ghost, you know, into the zombie version of, you know, Stay Puft, and it ends up separating them, and there's this crazy battle with Stay Puft versus Stay Puft, and they're kind of fusing and fighting at the same time. It's gooey and nasty and zombionic and tears up a bunch of the city. But, it works out for the Ghostbusters because they have a whole lot of ghosts that can't go in the containment unit that they're able to shoot straight into, of course, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, the zombie version. And it works. It just works. I was wondering how zombies would work in Ghostbusters. I was like, man, this would be kind of weird. They kind of just deal with ghosts. And, you know, even Egon goes on this diatribe about, you know, the soul and how it's part of the soul there, and there's a piece working, but the shell is empty. And it kind of actually ends up being solid, man. The reasoning, of course, the comic book reasoning, it works. So I've got to say that this is definitely another great entry. There's been some ones that weren't so solid, but Infestation is definitely solid. Now I have to go and pick up the omnibus and read the whole thing, because the zombies infect Star Trek, Ghostbusters, G.I. Joe, and I think Transformers, maybe. Yeah, I think Transformers. So anyway, guys, once I read that, I'll review it for you and we'll have a whole lot of fun. It's not specifically a movie, but it's kind of set up like a movie, which is Marvel's Inhumans. And I can sum up my first impressions with two words, intrigued and hopeful. I'm intrigued because I'm very invested now in the outcome of what happens with this royal family, with this society that's up on the moon. And hopeful because I've seen enough here where, you know, I think they're going in a good direction. So let's get into the royal family. And I'll try to keep this spoiler free as much, but I might dip into spoilers. That's why I have the spoilers right here. But the royal family, you know, it's kind of tight-knit. And I like the way they're written because they kind of come with the ensemble angle where you kind of believe that these people have known each other for a while. And I know that you're watching TV, and we'll get to that in a second, but I like the royal family. And that's important for me when I'm watching something. I need to like the people that I'm watching. I need to care about them. So I like the way that they kind of regarded Black Bolt, and the way Black Bolt would use just facial expressions and stuff, you know, when it comes to Medusa, or when it comes to Karnak or Gorgon, and then also the kind of, I guess, special sign language that they gave him, which I thought was really cool. I enjoyed the kind of like the outfits and the costuming, and I really enjoyed how they presented themselves when it came to like the elders or anything. They really presented themselves as a strong unit. Now, when it comes to the elders, there's a ceremony that they have, you know, for Terra Genesis. You guys have probably been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so you know that there's, you know, this process called their Terra Genesis. It turns people that have the inhuman gene, and it, you know, transforms them to being able to be their true selves. So I really enjoyed the process that they went through, and it showed how important it is to them. It's like a rite of passage. And it's that type of rite of passage that, you know, we don't really get time to really see on Earth because they're not, you know, connected to their, I guess, the royal family and the society up on the moon. So I really enjoyed how they took time and they took care, and it was very important for them to kind of help the youth kind of usher themselves into this life. And when it comes to the way they do it, you find out how important it is because they have set up a caste system. So, you know, you have the lower caste, you got, you know, your royal family and all that, and you might have some dissension here and there. And when it comes to the royal family, that's where Maximus comes in, because he's trying to kind of play both sides. And you've seen in the trailer where, you know, you can definitely see he is not too keen on kind of where Black Bolt is taking the society, or how he's taking the family, or, you know, his actions against the humans. But before I move any further, let you know about the humans and all of this craziness that's going on this moon city society. Let me remind you, you can find me at Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans is super dope. And you can find them at blackhollywoodlive.com, where they have celebrity interviews, after shows, sports talk, geek, nerd, tech, the whole bang. And you can come to YouTube every day for live streams at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So when it comes to, you know, the lower caste system, and of course Maximus and the royal family, Maximus of course sees his opening to kind of hedge his bets and, you know, kind of turn the people on the royal family. And as you can see in the trailer, of course there's a, you know, a betrayal, a coup that happens. But inside of this coup, you get to see the responses from the people and the responses from the royal family, and it's very interesting to see the stark differences, because the people don't seem to be too worried about the royal family. They're just like, oh, they're gone? All right. And that's what sets the whole motion off of, you know, the royal family fleeing, running away. Now, there's much more going on, but I don't want to super get into that and give it all away. Of course, you know, there's a betrayal from the trailer. Of course, you know, the people are going to be duped or kind of siding with Maximus, but I don't want to give too much away, because this is something that everyone hasn't really gotten a chance to see. So what do I think about it? Well, I'd have to give this out of 5 stars. I think it's solid. I'm going to go in and sit this joint at 3 stars. The sets are beautiful. The city of Adelan is just so ornate. I love the costumes. I even love the characters that we have to follow. Their relationships mean something to me, because it means something to them. I think it's written well as far as the relationships are handled. Now, of course, it's network television. So when you're there, it looks like you're watching TV on a huge screen. But that in no way means that this is a horrible, you know, a horrible film or a horrible 2 episodes that they put together and kind of made into a film. This is still very solid. I like Maximus. I like Black Bolt. I'm very interested to see how that, you know, relationship plays out. I'm also now pretty invested in the royal family. Like Karnak, at this time, he's in a predicament, I'll say that. You have Gorgon, he's dealing with his issues. Everyone's scattered at this time, and I wanna see how the society plays out with the coup right under their noses. So you add that with Lockjaw, who is just so, he's so lovable. And some pretty decent, solid effects. I mean, if you've seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you kinda know the level of effects that you're gonna see here. But I think the sets of Adelan is where they really shine. But the sad thing is that when they go to Earth, when they come to Hawaii. When they come to Hawaii, it's just like, this is no diss to Hawaii. Hawaii is a beautiful place, but you're talking about like an imaginary, you know, world that's like just so beautiful, and it's, you know, this palace, and now you're just like, oh, we're on Earth. So I would have loved to spend more time in Adelan. I really would. I love the sets, the way it's set up. Just even learning more about the society, but we didn't get that. And I hope that we get more. Now, as far as should you go see this, unless you're an extremely hardcore and humans fan, I'd have to say that you might want to reel it in and wait, because IMAX is not cheap. Like, I dropped a lot of people, the tickets were like $20. So $20 to see this. Now, you might be able to see a matinee or a really early morning showing that will, you know, the price will be cheaper, but it's a lot for a TV show on the big screen. And this is not to diss the show, because it looks like what it's supposed to look like. It's a TV show. But, you know, it's hard for me to tell you guys to drop $20 just to watch a TV show on the big screen, because we're gonna see it on September 29th or something like that, whenever it actually drops. So we're gonna be able to see it later. And I think you guys can enjoy it just as much then. Now, should you watch? Yes, I think you should. If you're into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if you're into Inhumans, if you're into that kind of like groundwork that they've laid, I think this is worth it for you to at least check the first and second episode when they drop it on ABC. So guys, from me to you, I'm very interested to know if you've seen the IMAX presentation for, of course, Marvel's Inhumans. We're talking about Star Wars Rebels. The final season is here. We've already got one trailer, and today we got yet another. And I'm gonna straight up just jump into what I loved, which is Mandalore. I love that we're gonna get into Sabine and her loyalty to, you know, of course, the Mandalorians, or her loyalty to the Rebels, and Mandalore's place in this battle. Like, is Mandalore going to kind of stick more with the Empire, or are they gonna kind of slide into a neutral position, or are they just gonna straight up be rebels? Because I'm very kind of like touched with the idea that there might be a full-scale rebellion inside of the Empire, just dealing with the Mandalorians themselves, you know, kind of like outside of the Rebels, like them saying like, hey, we're not really down with the Rebels, but we don't like you either. I also like the reference to, of course, Stardust, because now we're getting closer to, yes, whether you liked it or not, we're getting very, very close to Rogue One. So we're seeing like a lot of Saw Gerrera, we're seeing more Mon Mothma, and we're kind of like moving to that point where we're kind of like closing that gap between what's going on now and of course Rogue One and of course Episode 4. So we're starting to see a lot of battles, and even the reference to we are not ready for open war. And I love how it's showing where Mon Mothma's perspective is, where it's like, we are not ready to fight the Empire. Like, you know, none of us like them. And, you know, maybe there might've been a couple of skirmishes here or there, but we're not ready. And Saw Gerrera's like, yo, look, if we don't do something now, if we don't do something substantial, something real, then we'll never be able to fight them. I also love Hera and Kanan. If you ever read the book, A New Dawn? I believe it's A New Dawn. It's a Star Wars novel. It's the new canon. And it has, of course, Hera and Kanan, them meeting and kind of starting before the series of course, Star Wars Rebels. And it was always more of a more adult tone that they took with each other. And when the show started, of course, it's on Disney XD, it seemed like they played it, you know, a lot lower than I think they should have. And we only got small glimpses of the relationship that they seem to have, or maybe not have. And they never really hashed it out until you got this season's trailer earlier, when she was talking about like something like, come back to me, baby, or something like that. Or she might've said that in the last season, I can't remember. And then of course here, he's saying, you know, what about us in this trailer? So you get to see a more, I guess, pronounced kind of view, an example of what their relationship is and where they might be with it. And of course, with the circumstance of being rebels and inside of this war, it's nice to see that they haven't dropped that. And I really want to know how their relationship ends. Of course, I do think this season is going to end with everybody dead except Hera, but that's for a whole nother video, speculation and all that craziness. But I love their relationship. I think they have a great relationship, and I just want to see more of it. Now, before we get on to anything else with a whole bunch of cool stuff, fight scenes, blasters and all that, gotta remind you that you can find me on Black Hollywood Live. That's right, the first online network for African Americans. Super dope. And you can find them at blackhollywoodlive.com, which is on point with them celebrity interviews, after shows, sports talk, geek nerd tech, the whole shebang-a-bang, with live streams every day at youtube.com/blackhollywoodlive. So we get a lot of statements like, we will not stand for this. You know, we're not going to take it. And I just love that the rebellion is coming to a head, and we're starting to see how pronounced Mon Mothma is, how pronounced, of course, Saw Gerrera is. And even statements from Saw Gerrera, like, are you going to keep running Mon Mothma's errands and stuff like that? Like little things where you can tell that they're definitely
two perspectives on how to fight this war. And of course, ultimately, we know in the future that, you know, somebody got to die. But I think it's nice to have that balance, to know that there are people that maybe want to do it another way. And, you know, maybe sometimes it's just the hard reality that there is no other way. We have to kill these guys. And Saul Guerrero, you know, take him or leave him, however you like, he's kind of already made peace with the fact that, yo, we have to fight. And we have to fight dirty. We have to fight tooth and nail. And we got to take them down. Now, I'm pretty sure you're probably wondering, do I like Ezra? No, I still don't like Ezra. My team is Kanan, Hera, and Sabine. But Ezra has become more, how should I say, believable in his role. He doesn't whine as much. And I actually believe that he's someone who could kind of be in this situation, be in this, I guess, rebellion, if you will. So he's grown on me to a certain degree. I'm not hyped, but he's grown on me. I also like to see Chopper get a couple of hits in, a little action. But Sabine and the dogfights is what really impressed upon me. I love those. The dogfights look great. I love seeing the X-Wings open up and get in an attack position. I love to see Sabine with the black saber once again, kind of leading the charge. And also the imagery of, you know, of course, the Mandalorian helmets falling. I just really want to know her position, where she'll be at, what she'll be doing, and how key she'll be to this season and to the fight as a whole. Because one thing that I need from this final season, and I know the season's already shot, done, finished, edited, all that, but please give me Hera and a B-Wing again, and please give me Sabine leading Mandalorians into battle towards some stormtroopers or something. I don't know, but I just need to see that. And I'm ready. I'm really ready for this. So guys, holla at me. I'm gonna holla at you. Down in the comments, let me know what you thought about the trailer. I am hype on this joint. So, as long as you don't like Ezra, holla at me. And I gotta tell you guys to head up thatnerdsoul.com. That's right, check me out. All the videos are there, from the oldest, newest, latest, greatest, and all that. Then hit up shop.thatnerdsoul.com and pick yourself up a t-shirt, player. And don't forget to get one for them playettes. Then come back here, like, comment, subscribe, and share that Nerd Soul. That's right, there's no better way that I can show people that you like what you are watching. And please give a shout out to LA, what up? VA, what up? RVA, you got my heart. And check it. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other. Watch Star Wars. It's good for you. Peace.